Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is TV Worth Talking About.
My gut tells me we're dealing with sophisticated bombs.
This is Shrine Podcasts.
90 seconds, hooray!
Trigger Point.
Hello and welcome to Shrine Podcast presents Trigger Point. I'm Hannah.
I'm Brendan.
And I'm Rebecca.
And Jesus, season two started with a bang, more than one to be specific. And we are very pleased to announce that we are now exclusively covering drone-based crime dramas from now on. Thumb is back, a nickname created on perhaps the most out-of-control episode of this podcast ever released. And we didn't even make it through the first episode before he was kissing his ex behind the back of his newly traumatized colleague/girlfriend, new character, DS Helen Morgan. I wonder if HR knows. But the heart wants what the heart wants. And that was for Thom, Vicky McClure's Lana Washington, with a ponytail in this season, mind you. And I have been through the growing out of pixie cut phase. It was long and I wouldn't wish it on anyone. Season two also saw the return of Haseen Rahim, Danny, who has no surname on IMDb. Someone fix that, please, for my TV. And very, very briefly, resident racist John Hudson. Now, Rebecca's on your recap today and our Brendan has your thoughts and theories. We're going to have a real quick catch up in a minute. But first, I need to address the elephant in the room, guys, which was I went on, I think it can be described as a rampage about how much I didn't like this show when we finished covering season one, to the point where I were like, as fucking if we're coming back to do season two. And here I am now with a fully transformed new attitude and new opinion, because I'm not just saying this, but I genuinely thought it was actually really good and the production value has upped and I'm really impressed.
I thought that the production value on season one was really good. I thought it was really tense. I enjoyed the storylines. We were definitely on a different page for some reason on season one. We weren't watching the same show, I don't feel.
Oh no, I'll tell you what the reason was. Yeah. The reason was Warren Brown's character at the very end, just asking someone out with a bomb attached to him, made no fucking sense. And it sort of sent me into a type of breakdown that I have come out of. And genuinely now, hands up, I am enjoying season two. I didn't think I would. I was fuming, actually, loading it up to be back here. But no, genuinely, new attitude, new year, new me, new house.
Hannah,
I've changed.
I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed it. I have to say now, I think that season two is on a different level to season one. I enjoyed season one. I enjoyed the graffiti that said, I love eggs. But I feel like season two was, you know, it just felt like a fresh reset and it feels like a new era.
I agree.
Yeah, it's mad that we're straight back into like the drone warfare again, though. I was like, that drone that flew into the car park was terrifying.
What a scary little bitch. And guys, just while we're on the topic of drones, I had a dishwasher installed today and every 5 minutes it is beeping. Not sure why, because I've turned it off. So that isn't the countdown for something that's about to explode. Although it might add atmosphere. I'm really sorry. There's literally nothing I can do about it.
Oh my God, I can't believe you got a dishwasher. That's so exciting. I haven't had a dishwasher since I moved out of my parents' house when I was 21.
Rebecca, neither had I, and I'm telling you, she arrived today. I won't be washing or drying anything for the rest of my life, but it does beep every 5 minutes. So
I love them for the hygiene. Like, obviously it's great because you don't have to wash the dishes, but like, I don't like, that's fine. But more, the bigger benefit than not having to wash up is the that everything is steam cleaned. Do you know what I mean?
What I love? It's getting everything out of the way. The place could be a tip, but you load that dishwasher and the kitchen looks brand new. So yeah, but she's beeping there beside me, so just, we have a fourth host.
What are you gonna call her?
Actually, I don't know, and she's integrated, so she hasn't really got a face or anything where I could maybe like attach a personality to her, but we'll see. She's definitely in the room anyway, making herself known.
Dishy. Oh, well, thrilled for you, Hannah. Now, fair play to you getting a dishwasher. It's the first thing I do whenever I buy a house, is I'm going to be like, here, I'm going to save so many hours just lashing the stuff in rather than me standing there washing it.
Same with my number one requirement. I was like, I don't care if we have an ascent left, there's a dishwasher going into that house. Now, guys, that's enough shy talk. Brendan's on your recap today. Take it away, bitch.
I'm not.
Okay, we'll try that again. Rebecca.
We're leaving this in.
Take it away, bitch. Wouldn't be like, what's to do in edit? Are you joking?
Sorry, Hold on, really quickly.
I haven't done the recap.
We were talking about
my heart went sideways. No, that's fine. Jesus Christ.
Brendan literally looked like he's about to combust.
Oh my God, I went, the blood went from my head.
He's actually
Jesus
huge.
Christ.
We died in it yesterday. It took me 17 hours because
we literally had a conversation about this. Can we just explain where all of our brains are at today? Could we really quickly just say Hannah was making some gorgeous artwork for the new series of the podcast. Would you like to share with the group what this podcast was about to be called?
Tipping Point, and I should have put it in my intro. I'll do it every 10 minutes. And did we cover Trigger Point before we became a question on Tipping Point?
We were a question on Tipping Point. Yeah,
we were a question on Tipping Point in January 2023, and we covered Trigger Point in January 2022. So I think you just have association with Jan. Believe so. Yeah,
I wonder. I'm back with a fresh attitude, but yeah, I will be calling this Tipping Point, and I just apologize to everyone.
Let's call this episode Tipping Point.
Perfect. Rebecca, please take it away.
Okay, right. Episode 1 of season 2 of Trigger Point opens with Lana travelling in a taxi from Heathrow Airport to some sort of police security conference in central London. Operation Griffin is written on one of the screens. She's greeted by Danny, who, in Lana's words, is now a highly trained top professional. He's also getting married in 2 weeks and 3 days. He gives her a hug and he tells her that it's very good to have her back. Cut to 3 men in a power station wearing hard hats. One is acting shifty and hangs back. He then sneaks to the floor below. Back at the briefing, Lana is up on stage and she's speaking about her time being an expo at the Met. And here we learn that she's been away for the last 6 months training Ukrainian expos in Estonia. And she also briefly discusses her time spotting IEDs in Afghanistan. What does IED stand for again?
Improvised explosive device.
Oh my gosh, well done. I was going to say unidentified, but that was a U. Okay, so back at the plant, we now see that the dodgy man has accessed the control room. He types in a code and disables the fail-safe relay alarm.
Sorry, can
warning
I just
signs.
Interrupt to say about this man?
Yeah.
He was going around like, is it the man from, he's like Dastardly, is his name Dastardly from Muttley? And he's like,
yes.
He's tiptoeing around like a Disney villain. He's just like, do you know that maneuver that I mean? It was I'm like, you're clearly an evil villain. Yeah. Anyway,
well,
just an observation.
The evil villain man has warning signs flashing up on his screen and he then flips one of the switches and he sends a text to someone containing one word. Done. Meanwhile, Lana is now telling the audience about the 3 different kinds of IEDs, and this is a nice reminder for us to know. So there's time, command, and then victim. Time is dependent upon a time switch. Command means someone else is in control of the device, and victim is your classic booby trap. As Lana goes on to explain how they need to adapt to new threats, techniques, enemies, we see footage from a drone flying over the power factory building. It then flies into some sort of generator into the plant, and the dodgy man and his two colleagues suddenly run for cover from a huge explosion.
Guys,
and Lana can
see
this explosion.
Have we checked the IMDb page of that drone to see if it's the same one from Vigil? A star was born.
I also loved in Lana's speech, like, you know the way, I don't know the way, but like when somebody is addressing like a large conference like that, you know, you're supposed to use an icebreaker. And I really loved like the script, and it was like, you know, most people's nightmares will be trying to, you know, like cut the right wire in a bomb. She's like, well, mine is giving a talk like this. I was like, oh my God, great opener. Yes.
Yeah, she broke the ice now, but unfortunately there's been a huge explosion and she can see it in the distance from the building that she's actually in. And then suddenly the lights turn off in the building. Jesus. And we see that the power has actually gone from most of the main buildings in central London. So they have to evacuate. Haas then calls Lana to tell her that the explosion happened at the Isle of Dogs power station. There's a possible IED at the entrance gate and she's actually the nearest to the location. She isn't back to work tomorrow, but she's the closest, so she heads there first, right? So Lana and Danny, they race to the scene alongside officers, fire crews. She's greeted by Station Commander Sean Hodge, and he says there is a suspect device on the gate and the only way through it to the fire is that gate. So he's like, listen, we need to get this ASAP. And there's shift workers inside. He's worried that the fire is going to spread to a transformer and then that could explode as well. So they are up against the clock, right? Danny then kits Lana out in her bomb disposal moon suit, which is very heavy and hot. And it reminds me of a costume from one of the early seasons of The Masked Singer. Do you know, just not practical. Using a very long pole with a mirror at the end of it, kind of like one of those giant things that the dentist uses in your mouth, Lana leans over and she sees that there's not one but two devices and they're linked. So that whole gate is going to blow up. Next up, Tom is there with another female officer, and we learn that her name is DS Helen Morgan. They arrive at the scene. He looks a bit shook now when he sees Lana back, doesn't he? And she's then not too impressed when she realises that it's Lana, Tom's ex, do you know? Mm. And Tom here says that three shift workers are trapped inside. They need to get an ASAP. And Lana asks, I actually did find this kind of funny. She asks Hodge to cut a Lana-shaped hole in the fence, basically, so she can access it to get to the devices from the other side. I was just like, oh my God, they're cutting a hole in the fence. Fair enough, though, at the same time. So during a brief chat with Danny, we learn from Lana that she hasn't spoken to Tom since she left, right, 6 months ago. Haas arrives at the scene and Lana is spitting when she sees John is back too after being on probation. She calls John a racist. She says he's dangerous and that he almost had her killed. Haas says that he made a mistake and he's trying to change. But the truth is that they just don't have enough people trained. So John is back on the squad.
The man's
we also
pig.
Find out, isn't he? No, guys, he's bad. Like, he's a prick.
He is. I mean, you're not allowed to say that.
You actually are.
All right, Grant. Well,
he just roared into the microphone. He's a pig.
John from The Traitor season one was vicious. This fella's a pig. As proven in the Mail Online, guys.
Excuse me, I was about to say.
Oh my God.
Undisputed.
We also find out, guys, that actually John and Danny are now BFFs. And this is a bit that I want us to possibly come back to in the theories, right? So John is organising Danny's stag do.
Not
and he
anymore.
Wants to scrap the paintballing and he wants to go to a strip club instead of the paintballing. And he says something about it possibly being a Whitechapel. Okay? So we'll remember
okay,
that for
noted,
a moment.
Noted.
John tries to say hi to Lana. Do you know, he's walking over, but she's frosty and she's like, you know, walks to the fence and whatnot. But he is kind of trying to be like, all right. And then a man in a lovely trench coat arrives and he's the new boss. His name is Commander John Francis, right?
Oh, gorgeous.
Yeah, no, that's some coat, isn't it? That looks like Burberry.
Yeah, that's that level. Money, honey.
So Lana then radios Haas and the team to tell them to expect two simultaneous controlled explosions. She sets up a disruptor and then everyone is told to take cover and get back. Danny then takes a shot, but there's only one blast. Lana asks Danny to take another shot, but then that doesn't fire. And she's really annoyed and confused. And she says there must be a fault in the equipment. The first device is clear. but there's now a timer counting down on the second device. 30 seconds to go. Everyone takes cover. 20 seconds to spare. Then Lana rushes to replace the disruptor and she screams to Danny to take another shot, despite Haas being like, get away from there, right? With 1 second to go, the device is destroyed and the space is clear for the fire services to enter. They were almost goners, right? 1 second to spare. Afterwards, John straight away, like a
it's
dog
like
with a bone.
It's like a bloody mission in the traitors. That convenient timing.
It is. John's fuming, right? He's like, that malfunction happening on her first day back, you know, what the hell's going on? Lana explains to Haas that the cartridge just failed, but Haas seems a little bit concerned. Commander John then pulls Haas aside and he's like, mate, you did a cracking job now in for Lana, but you seemed a bit worried there and she's had some previous problems. And he does a bit of a recap of season one. The brother was killed in a terrorist-related incident, and then the obvious other expo situation where she was involved with the man who orchestrated the whole bomb campaign. Haas then has Lana's back, which is good. And he's like, listen, this whole thing was difficult for all of us or whatever. So Lana goes up to Danny now. Another bit that I want us to come back to, right? Lana goes up to Danny and she's like, there must have been some sort of fault with the disruptor, right? And Danny says he'll get it checked out, okay?
Mm.
Tom then tells Lana that she did well, you know, she was missed. And we also learned that Tom's been promoted in the last 6 months. Danny's wedding's brought up. Lana's like, oh, are you seeing anyone? I mean, that was very full on straight away. And he's kind of like, oh, no, you know this job. I'm not seeing anyone. And then John Francis heads over and he's like, here, Lana, be polite. And she's like, I'm always fucking polite. I do really like her character. She's very likable. Anyway, John Francis tells Lana that her work's very impressive and he likes to see a woman in the job. And he asks her, oh, what happened there with that disruptor situation? And she says it's a faulty cartridge. And he's like, you also weren't wearing your bomb suit. Like, what's the story with that? And she's like, well, that wouldn't have saved me anyway. I just want to talk about here. Danny looks. There's a few shots of Danny in this episode looking shifty. Did anyone else notice that?
Yeah, I thought this about a couple of people in this first episode, and then it just made... I remembered. Is this made by World Productions?
No, it's Jed, but I think it's another TV production company.
There is a crossover between Line of Duty and this and who makes it or writes it. And I was going, oh my God, that person looks really shifty or that camera's hanging longer. And then I was like, oh no, this is what they also did in Line of Duty to make everyone seem suspicious so that you couldn't really see the wood from the trees.
Very true. But they do have a few shots of him holding the disruptor and like he could have replaced it. I don't really know. And he's very palsy with John now. And yeah, I suppose they always do this at the start of a series. We have to suspect everyone. Right, back to business. We learned there's no CCTV of the attack. It's monitored remotely. Someone could have hacked it. And DS Morgan is like, will you find out if anyone around the area happened to film the attack or whatever? Lana tells Haas that it's really odd that Danny and John are now mates and they get on like a house on fire. And she's like, listen, thanks for backing me there. Thanks for stepping up when I was away. And he just says that he hopes that her secondment helped her clear her head. She then says that she wants to make things right with Tom. And Haas breaks the news that Tom and Helen are now an item. DS Morgan. She says they found the missing engineer, Joe Hansen, and he's in no fit state to be interviewed. So he has survived the attack, but obviously he is severely injured. We then learn that the footage of the drone attack and the explosion, along with the power outages, is all over the internet. And it was filmed by those responsible. At Met HQ, Tom then tells the team the next day, or maybe the same day, that they need to find the location of the drone pilot site. So they need to find out where the drone was piloted from. And Line of Duty fans will notice here that Manuv Tiara, who plays Manit's cousin, Vihan, is starring as D.I. Amar Batra. Isn't that very exciting?
Yeah, love it.
Brilliant.
So Commander Francis says that power stations are robust, so this was obviously a very sophisticated terrorist attack. They need intelligence to look into other organisations who use similar wording in their videos, and he also wants info on terrorist groups using drones. We'll get on to DCI Amy Silva, do you know what I mean? Batra identifies an area on a map here where the drone could have been flown and operated from, and DS Morgan is like, we actually got in an anonymous tip an hour ago that a drone was being operated from an abandoned multi-level car park. And on that map, guys, Whitechapel is on that map. Where was Whitechapel mentioned earlier on? In the strip club by John and Danny.
Jesus, who needs DCIA Miss Silva when you've got Reb Sheck?
No wonder
well,
it took you 7 hours.
I just had to take my time doing the recap. I hope I got that right now, because we all know what happened when I got confused between the two men on Vigil. So anyway,
what
we
two
move.
Men?
Exactly. So off they go to Crayford Place car park outside Danny tells Lana that he is only mates with John because he was lumped with them when she was gone, and he wanted Haas to be his partner or whatever, but listen, that wasn't the case. HR are eaten out of John's hand, and speak of the devil, John arrives with Haas, and him and Lana have to head up to the roof together. Haas is like, the two of you can go up. Really awkward, guys. You could cut the tension between them with a knife. DS Helen briefly asks Tom if, I was actually dead at this. They're full on our operation to try and find bombers. And she's like, come here now, Tom. Did you tell Lana that we're an item now? I was like, love, bigger fish to
yeah,
fry.
Now is not like, the time.
There's IEDs everywhere. So, what armed officers enter. I don't know the first word.
Improvised.
What did you think it was earlier and it started with a different letter?
Unidentified.
All I can think about is, isn't there a type of contraception that's like an IUD?
Is that the chip that goes in your arm?
No, hold on. Is it an IED or an IU? Yeah, isn't that the
this
coil?
This is us doing foes and fate all over.
Oh my god. Sorry, so basically the armed officers go upstairs and they go into this floor. Yeah, they go into a floor. Let me know that, because I actually, it's going to really annoy me that if I got that acronym wrong. Is it an acronym? Armed officers, they enter up and they go into a floor. It's filled with bins, crates, abandoned cars. They open the door of one of the cars, two rough sleepers inside, along with their baby who seems shaken. And they say they haven't seen anyone new there in the last 12 hours because they're obviously living there.
An IUD is the coil, yeah.
It's IED, is it?
IUD, yeah.
No, that's IUD, the coil.
Thank you.
That's the coil.
Yeah, will an you IED tell her is a bomb. Will you tell her what it means, though? Or
oh, so I'm so sorry. An IUD. I'm Googling the coil here. What are the disadvantages of IUD?
No,
the acronym for what? The coil or the bomb?
The bomb!
Improvised explosive device!
And what does the coil stand
for? You're going to be putting one of them inside you.
IUD. What acronym? Sorry. Bear with me. An intrauterine device. Now.
Oh, yeah, because go, yeah, yeah.
There
I
you
understand.
Go.
Okay, well, every day's a school day.
Moving on.
Moving on now, back to the show. Lana and John are having severe words when they're heading up the different flights of stairs. My God, he's like, do you know what? I never should have been off the team. I said some stuff. I've nothing to apologise for. I made mistakes just like you, and I didn't screw a terrorist. John says everything has been running fine since she's been gone. Haas is a top senior officer. He knows his stuff. Him and Danny are BFFs. In fact, he's even planning Danny's stag do. Thought that was interesting that was brought up again. Anyway, Lana snaps back and she's like, I'm your superior officer. And he says, no, you're not superior to me. He's scathing. He says, you know, you haven't changed. She's like, either of you. John tells Lana that even though she's been away 6 months, she's still fucked. He knows it. Everyone does. And yeah, the man is vicious, I wrote in capital letters. Then the boss man, Commander Francis, shows up and he tells Tom that the homeless couple should be questioned, which he's right now. I won't, you know what I mean? The man's on the ball, but maybe he's too much on the ball because he's running to things, you know? Mm. He could be doing dodgy dealings. Back at base, Batra learns that the car park tip-off, it actually came from a burner phone that was purchased yesterday. So it all could be a trap. We know we need to strap in now because the armed officers are told to proceed with extreme caution. Lana is actually on the floor below. They're on the roof and Lana and co are on the floor below, which is the floor 11. They're investigating a possible IED. John is being a real dick. He keeps kind of asking Lana questions and just being a dick while she's trying to make sure that it isn't a bomb or whatever. It does turn out to be a false alarm. It's just a bit of wire. Helen and Tom then rock in. Lana's like, what the hell are you doing up here? You shouldn't be up here. And Helen is the one who notices a device in the corner of the room. Tom reckons that it could be a drone controller, and everyone is told to get back. As John walks towards it, the armed officer that he's beside stands on something and we hear a click. A red light on the device switches on and there's a camera on it. And before John can stop his colleague from making any moves, he lifts his foot and the bomb explodes, killing them both instantly. Lana, Tom and Helen all fall to the floor from the force of the bomb. They're in complete shock. Tom gets up. He takes a step back onto a piece of cardboard and we hear another click. I was like, oh
yeah,
my
fuck's sake, Tom.
Good God. He realizes that he stood on something and he's possibly activated another IED with his foot. He's panicking. He calls to Lana for help. She tells him not to move an inch. Lana screams, get out, at two other officers who obviously come up at the noise of an explosion. And Tom is just told to stay really, really still. She makes her way across the room. She tests for explosives with a little beeping device, like a Ghostbuster one that would tell you if there's a spirit. It's beeping frantically. And Lana explains to Tom that he's standing on a pressure plate. When you step on it, it activates. When you step off it, it goes off. Helen then panics and moves. She starts to move. And when Lana sees Helen moving, she looks behind her and realizes that there are bombs everywhere.
Yeah, those and pressure plates are all over the floor.
They're all over the floor.
Really inappropriately, the woman cracks out a glow stick. I'm like, I'm sure it's something to do with like bomb disposal. But I was like, now is not the time for a rave, love.
Yeah, no. Yeah, what is that? Is that to see obviously
know.
A bit of light for underneath, or is it testing something?
I
don't know what the glow stick is. That like, I don't know. Say for example, if you were trying to do that job in, if there were no windows and the room was really dark and maybe the whole power went out, then that a glow stick might help in that situation. I don't know. I'm talking off the top of my head. Not a clue.
We'll have to look into it, guys. So, back to the minefield. Danny and Haas are now trying to get into the room and Lana is like, John and the other officer are dead. Tom stepped on another device now and she gets Helen to make her way to the door slowly and carefully and to stick to the concrete and not to the cardboard. Haas then tells Danny to keep an eye on her in the stairwell. Where is Haas going there, guys? That's what I want to know. Do you know what I mean? He's like, Danny, watch her. Meanwhile, Tom is understandably panicking. He's hyperventilating. His whole body's shaking. Lana tells him to take deep breaths. He begs her to go. He says, I don't want anything to happen to you. And Lana shouts back for him to just listen. She's in control. She needs him to shut up. She needs him to be still. And she needs him to trust her. She knows what she's doing and she's going to neutralize the device. Tom cries that he's sorry and that he shouldn't be there. It's all his fault. And Lana pleads with him to stay still. She says she's not going to let him die because she loves him. She always has. She always will. She's not going to let anything change that. And then Lana then proceeds to try and cut the cardboard away so she can get to the pressure plate properly. Helen then gets sent footage and actually the whole car park explosion they were just involved in, that's now streaming online as well. Lana
was it on the
is
TikTok?
Nearly there. I'd say it was everywhere, Pat. Mm. I'd say it was on Periscope. Is that still going?
What the fuck Periscope? Is Periscope?
No, Rebecca, I was screaming.
What's
it was
Periscope?
Honestly, it was around for a week. Was it an Instagram initiative?
Twitter then bought it and then that was what they used as their live streamer for a while, but I don't know what I'm not sure what the crack is.
I don't remember it.
Throwback. Lana's nearly there with the Tom bomb now, right? So she actually gets him to hold his hands together to stop his hands from shaking.
No,
sorry, can we not just brush over? Did you call it the Tom bomb?
Tom bomb?
Yeah.
That's excellent.
That's the name of the episode.
I wrote THOMBOMB. Tom bomb.
BOMBE, Tom Bomb.
No, Bob, just BOMB. Yeah, actually, an E would have been nice on that, but no, we'll stick to the actual spelling. Sorry. So Lana neutralizes the Tom Bomb.
That makes us go insane. Like, it's actually a really serious show, but I don't know, it just makes me lose the plot.
We're not right, like we never were. But the Tom bomb has been neutralized, guys. She calmly reassured him. She says, listen, you know, I cut the wire. You can step off now. And he, in the middle of it, is like, did you mean what you said? I was like, Tom, come on, not now. Like, she's literally snipping the wire. Like, she's literally trying to concentrate. But anyway, she gets him to step off. He breathes the biggest sigh of relief, understandably. And then he kisses her with your one outside, guys.
Yeah.
Smoochy, smoochy.
Guys, there's a lesson to be learned here, and essentially it is, if you cheat on your boyfriend, just save his life and then he will forgive you when he's so vulnerable because he stepped on a bomb and everything will be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the solid relationship advice there, Hannah, to be honest.
Very,
you know,
very healthy. A healthy basis for a relationship right there, yeah.
Absolutely, with
Happy
your new girlfriend
Day.
Outside the door. Yeah, and just watch the bombs on the way out. You're welcome.
Now, he obviously got caught up in the moment and I think, you know, Lana starts packing up and then Tom sees the lifeless bodies of John and his other colleagues, and he vows to get the fucking guys who did this. Now, just as we're about to go home for the day, there's a buzzing noise and it keeps getting louder. No, like it is menacing.
Yeah.
Menacing.
Yeah.
That noise. What the fuck is that? Lana asks. Before she sees a Vigil style killer drone racing towards them. Tom darts to the other side of the room, miraculously not standing on any other IEDs, pressure plates, and he grabs the machine gun that the armed officer who was killed obviously had. He fires it at the drone until the drone explodes outside on the roof. Thank God it hadn't entered in any further. But where were the hell were the officers' guys on the roof?
I don't know.
Because they were up there earlier. Like, I know there was an explosion and whatnot, but like, you would have thought that they were manning that to see. Anyway, Tom and Lana leave floor 11 to find Helen waiting outside. Hopefully she hasn't heard about the kiss. She hugs Tom. She says she thought she lost him. Danny then asks Lana if she's
TikTok
okay.
By the look of things.
Guys, can you actually imagine?
No.
Can you imagine? No. Like, yeah, it's shock on. Danny asks Lana if she's okay before he goes to check on Haas. The commander then arrives and shows Tom the footage from the drone that's been streaming online. And there's footage of Lana staring back at the drone with the text, "Who are they protecting?" Haas then looks out and he spots that there's actually a man on the roof of the building opposite them who's running away. I mean, the man looked like I don't even know what he was doing, scurrying away. Helen calls for all units to find the suspect who's on the loose and to detain anyone exiting that block. And then Trigger Point, season 2, episode 1, ends with a solo shot of Lana looking absolutely traumatized. A lot
excellent
happened.
Excellent recap. Thank God you had done it.
I did, yeah.
A lot happened, guys. Like, Jesus, yeah. It was high tension.
I really enjoyed it. And I also really noticed in the first episode, and I know it was only about 2 years ago, so maybe, I don't know how many years ago they would have filmed it, but they did, like, you know, like a kind of a season one sort of catch up. Mm-hmm. And that big explosion that happened, I think, in episode 1 or 2 of season 1 looked a bit gammy. Now, when you compared it to the sort of effects in the first episode of season 2.
This is stunning. We've gone for like sort of a darker sort of tone over the screen as well. I thought when Lana was giving her speech to those people and London in the background, then the explosion, I thought it looked great. And all of the sort of artwork released for it and all of the photo images, sorry, am I 92? All of the photographs released for it look really high quality. So I'm very impressed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it. I'm excited to watch it one a week and just see where the story unfolds to, and it's going to go in a few different directions. Everyone seems dodgy at this point.
Yeah.
One a week. Except the fucking thing is on the ITV player, 6 episodes up already. I mean, do I need to change to the streets? What will it take?
I know they should just do one a week. We've learned from the trailers that linear TV is still good.
Yeah,
do you know?
One a week. And so everyone listening, just watch along. One a week with us and we'll be in your ears of a Wednesday. Okay, we'll be back with your thoughts and theories after this.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, we've got your thoughts and theories. We're kicking off with voice notes. First up, here's Emma.
Lads. Oh my goodness. Only watching second series Trigger Point because you're podding on it. And blimey, I could barely breathe. It had me sitting on the edge of our seats from the beginning, straight into all the action, which I loved. Straight into characters we already knew. Thought it was a brilliant, brilliant start. And I have zero theories because, well, just so much thrown in. Oh, the one theory I have is the guy, the new commander, is weird. Weird vibes. Why does he keep going on about her being female? He's dodgy McDodgeface, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100% agree. What did he say to her specifically? Did he say it's unique and something else to have a woman here? Am I making that up?
He used a word. And she goes, I'm just unique or something. But I also am like, do you think potentially there could be some sort of love connection going on between Lana and him at some point?
A love connection? I don't know.
She's a whole lot of loving for Lana.
Yeah.
Christ. You'd be
right. She's very talented and like, she's a bit of fun.
Also, like, she's the most unfortunate bomb disposal expert in all of Greater London. Like, she always seems to have a connection to someone. And I understand that, like, Thom is working with her. So he's going to be in the, like, but the fact that he stood on a plate, they used to be together. In the last season, her brother was in the bloody car. Like, she's just constantly, and I know we see that with her and the therapist, and she's like, I just can't deal with knowing or having a connection to anyone else that I need to save from a bomb.
And Nut in the first season as well was gone. Like, it's a lot to handle.
These were my issues with season one. It was everyone she knew was either a victim or a criminal.
It does look like she's dodgy. Like, it does. It looks like she's blowing up people she knows, guys.
Oh, I don't know.
Do you know?
I don't think so. I think she's just unfortunate. Okay, more voice notes. Here's Megan.
The best scenario ever is basically seeing your ex after 6 months. We'll forget that it was our fault, they're our ex. They stand on a bomb and you are the only one that can help me, well, help them, while their new girlfriend is inside. That was the best part.
Which is exactly the point that you made, Hannah, a couple of minutes ago.
Exactly. Sorry, I'm just muting myself because Suso's having a breakdown.
It's the dishwasher, is it? Suso is Lana in your house and she thinks the dishwasher's an IED.
Guys, sorry, I just wasn't stopping this house. I actually sometimes I can't believe there's a child on the way. It's going to be insane. But yes, Megan, I completely agree with you entirely.
Okay, here's Ricky.
First time caller, long time listener since the cease and desist days. Really enjoyed the first episode of Trigger Point last night. Felt it was very tense. They did sort of similar things to series one that I quite enjoyed, where they did that lovely thing of putting you on a cliffhanger before the ad break, so you didn't know how it was all going to sort of resolve itself. Sort of in the similar vein to Game of Thrones, nobody really was safe in that episode, and sort of it was sad to see, even though it was a bit of a bell end, sad to see one of the OGs get killed off with sort of no sort of sadness from anybody around him. So I don't know. Maybe that'll get explored more in the following weeks. But yeah, really enjoyed it. Curious to see who's behind it all.
Can I just say one thing, Ricky? You need to do some voiceover work because you have a gorgeous voice and accent.
Lovely voice,
I think
you'd
clean up doing a few bits now, to be honest with you. And sorry, do you think now possibly that Danny is up to something and he's going to like pin it on John being dodgy now that he's dead, and then Whitechapel isn't a strip club but it's actually like a bomb making centre or something?
Well, Whitechapel's an area. It's a borough, isn't it?
It's a borough.
So are they just
it's just too much of a coincidence.
Okay.
Is Ricky...
We've noted that you've said this, okay?
Ricky,
you can Tyrella go, I told you.
It's noted. It's actually recorded. Ricky, are you single? Because we do offer a voice-based matchmaking service.
We do. And Ricky, are you related to Diane from The Traitors?
And Ricky, I love when people say they've been listening since the season
desist days.
Lately, and it really makes me laugh.
Yeah, I think we did explain that recently, didn't we? It was from the very, very, very first season when we first started, and we'd no idea that we weren't allowed to obviously just use someone else's theme music. And we were, I think, did we put some of the theme music from Line of Duty onto the podcast?
It was the first podcast we did. We got a cease and desist letter.
And we got a cease and desist from the BBC, and I fell up the stairs and work up to the floor above me to tell, excitedly tell Hannah and Rebecca that we'd had contact from the BBC. But secondary to the fact that we had just contact was the fact that it was negative contact and it was a legal threat.
Yeah, what we took from it was, they know who we are, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think they've listened?
Yeah.
They know who we are.
Okay, thanks for all your voice notes. You can always send them to us, shrinepodcast.com. Click on the link that says contact. Your emails, Alex in Norway, guys, says, I loved the first episode of Trick Point Series 2, but I have to say, I feel like John's death was kind of predictable. Thought it would happen at some point in the series to complete a kind of like a redemption arc from Series 1, but I didn't expect it to happen so early. Loving the drone theme as well. Feel like the team needs to invite our friends, Sylvaker from Scotland. I'm sure they're pretty well versed in remotely piloted killing machines by now. Alex says, massive fan of the podcast. Keep up the amazing work. Alex, thank you so much for your email.
You.
Phil B says, a couple of thoughts. Having just watched the first episode of the new series of Trigger Point, in Danny's first conversation with Lana in the opening scene, he says he's getting married in 2 weeks and 3 days. Something tells me he won't make it. Well,
yeah.
The fire service can't access the power station to look for the shift workers due to the IEDs on the gates. But when Lana asks them to cut a hole in the fence for her to get through, they do it straight away. Why didn't their firefighters go through to look for the workers or make a hole big enough to drive a fire engine through? Fair point. And final point from Phil B is, when Tom is walking slowly across the floor of the booby trap car park, he stands on a pressure plate. But when he runs at top speed to get the gun in the craziest game of The Floor is Lava, Lana, he manages to avoid every other device. Yeah, fair point. Very
it was
point.
Miraculous, like Jesus. Do you know what I mean? Like, my God.
And the final email today is from Rosalind Smith, who says, lads, just wanted to say how much I've enjoyed having you back watching along with the Traitors. It made a brilliant series, even more fun to watch. Probably wouldn't bother with Trigger Point Series 2 if it wasn't for you. Make me laugh so much. Was visiting Ireland in November and on a long, very rainy drive back from Clifton to Dublin, had the pleasure of hearing Reb and Brendan in the wild. What a thrill. Keep up the good work. Yous are all absolute legends. Rosalind, thank you very much.
Does our signal stretch that far? That's absolutely gas.
I mean, it must do, yeah. So Rosalind's referring to the radio show that we do, I assume. Listening to us in the wild. love it. Rosalind, thank you for listening. And we would love to hear what your thoughts are on Trigger Point as Series 2 moves on. Finally, to your tweets, Fargo Boyle says, it's just a bit too far-fetched and lacks any real jeopardy to be hugely invested.
You know, it is a bit far-fetched, but sure, like...
But that's fine, it's entertainment. It's a drama, guys.
Absolutely, were talking...
I don't read a novel and go, that wouldn't happen. No, I go, oh my God, I'm lost in the story.
Have you fooled me once, Harlan Coben? Do you know what I mean? But I don't mind when things are a bit far-fetched.
Please, have you seen anything written by Harlan Coben for Netflix? Have you read any of those books where women stand in windows and on trains and at doors?
I WhatsApped the group earlier, and over the next few days, I am going to be watching The Couple Next Door on Channel 4, apparently all episodes are there. And I haven't read it, but it looks like utter shite, and I'm here for it.
And it's one of them, the couple in the window, the brilliant. Woman on the wall, like, the woman up the road. Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
Wait. Vicky tweeted us and said, I was pleased to see the I Love Eggs graffiti make a reappearance in the recap at the beginning. Loved that as well. Janine Boyd says, you know, they've only told us Danny's getting married for one reason, right? And then she's got like an explosion emoji and a dead emoji. Finally, Mary Kerr sent us two words, thumb. And finally, Wayne sent us two more words, discounted ham.
Guys, sorry, I screaming. Can't season hear. One was wild.
And for anyone who didn't hear our Trigger Point Season 1 podcasts, the wheels completely came off one episode when we were discussing the fact that the character Tom's name is spelled with a H. So it's Tom, but with a H.
A wild story and a series of events.
And then I told a wildly inappropriate story about somebody, someone who had a nickname.
My mom listened to that, Brendan, and texted me about it, and we just did not have that type of relationship before that day. But thank you so much for that, I think.
So there was somebody was named Tom's Hum before, and you can go back and find the episode. I'm not repeating it.
What was the
And then I think Hannah panicked and said, oh no, I know what it was. So I think Rebecca then went on to read the description on the ITV website of what was going to come up in the next episode.
Oh, but shit, they basically
given away the entire plot of the next episode. And then Hannah said it was giving the kind of energy of someone who had handed their notice in that they'd just revealed what happens in the whole episode. And then you likened it to when you were in the supermarket days earlier and there was a load of ham that had a really good sell-by date that somebody had put yellow stickers on, so we got discounted ham.
Me, a vegetarian. Guys, sorry, well done for remembering that, because I had no idea.
That's how we got there.
And that is the single strangest episode of this podcast. And sorry, that wasn't even during COVID, so there's absolutely no excuse for how weird that was.
Yeah.
No, none. I think we all just panicked because the story that Brendan told was like a bit of a handbrake turn. We laughed so much, and then we were trying to like be professional and recover. So we started just distraction tactics and talking about discounts. It was really crazy. But listen, that's just life, and that's how real convos go. Do you know what I mean? Sorry, will I look at the ITV website and tell you what's happening next week?
We'll have a look there, yeah.
Watch all the episodes.
God, a live update.
Tell us what's happening next year. They're all out.
They're all out, sure. Look.
Oh, yeah.
More info.
I forgot. Oh,
okay. So, sorry, Brent, have you finished
your
the
dishwasher is still beeping. What?
Have you finished the theories, love? Sorry to talk
I
about
have. Them. Thank you for all your thoughts and theories. Email us, shrinepod@gmail.com, at shrinepod on Instagram and Twitter. Cat.
Oh, there's a cat.
There's a cat at my window.
Okay, right, sorry. Let's just have a look at this for a second. Trigger point. The police launch an investigation to find the bombers whose skill and sophistication keeps them one step ahead. Under pressure to get results, Helen makes a breakthrough.
Well, I hope it's about her relationship and her cheating
boyfriend.
They
kept that short and sweet, didn't they?
Yeah, guys, but I've uploaded the whole series.
I'm doing.
Can we stop drawing attention to the fact that they're all available, please?
I'm taking to the streets. It's called the March for Linear TV, and you are all more than welcome. Okay, that is it for today. We will be following season 2 of Trigger Point like good 80s/90s babies, linearly once a week, and a new episode will be in your feed every Wednesday. Follow us on socials at Shrine Pod. You can visit our website and send us a voice note or a message, shrinepodcast.com. If you are a Trigger Point, what's the word when you like only just watch Trigger Point? Like a Trigger Point, like
aficionado.
Yeah, if you've only listened to our Trigger Point episodes and you haven't listened to any in between, there's been a huge technological development and we now offer voice notes. So please do head over to shrinepodcast.com and get your gorgeous voice over to us. You can email us at shrinepod@gmail.com and you can leave a glowing review on Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, hit follow or subscribe. And remember, fellas, if you activate a bomb plate hidden under a piece of cardboard in an abandoned warehouse, just stand still.
And as Hannah's off on her fight for linear TV, I'm going to binge watch The Couple Next Door.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.